the creed as it's written there on the back as on page 7. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. What does this mean? I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. Grab the usher, get the lights, please. In 1985, Billy Graham said it was okay. The last two popes say it's okay. So people think they can live with being a Christian and some type of evolutionist. You might be able to live with it, but can you die with it? All of Christianity till just 150 years ago believed not just that God created, but that he created out of nothing. That's important. Hebrews 11 says the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Genesis 1 says God created the heavens and the earth. The Hebrew word for create here is bara. This verb only and always has God as its subject and never has a material object. That means only God creates in the sense that he creates out of nothing. Men can form, men can fashion, men can even involve something, but they can't do it from nothing. Likewise, up till just 150 years ago, Christendom believed in a young earth. Genesis 1 couldn't make it any plainer that God created all things in 6 days, each consisting of an evening and a morning. Neither can Exodus 20. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. The same Hebrew word for day is used throughout that verse. It can't mean 6 long geological periods of time in the first instance and a 24-hour day in the last. Either God created in 6 24-hour days or the Sabbath day is a 24-hour day, and the Sabbath day is a 24-hour day, or both of them are long periods of time. Not only do the scriptures teach a special creation, the early church fathers believed it as well. Irenaeus taught the earth was 6,000 years old, and that God made all things out of that which has no existence at all. Augustine also believed the earth was 6,000 years old, and rejected the Epicurean philosophers because they, quote, believed that living things could originate from things without life. Chrysostom taught the abyss of all evil, the parent of 10,000 heresies, was the assertion that all things rise from uncreated, i.e. eternal matter. Athanasius identifies evolution as one of the teachings of the pagan philosophers. The fathers of the church knew and rejected evolution. Darwin didn't discover this theory. Darwin gave the ancient philosophical explanation for how the world came to be, scientific respectability. Epicurus taught that the cosmos has emerged out of chaos by an accidental combination of atoms. Darwin said, once that accidental combination happened, natural selection caused it to progress upward till man eventually evolved. This process needed eons of time. First millions of years, then billions. On average, evolutionists have doubled the age of the Earth every 15 years for the past 300 years. Doing this appeals to the so-called gambler's fallacy in us all. That is, given enough time, anything can happen. But that's just not true. No matter how much time you have, a reptile does not become a bird or a monkey a man. And absolutely nothing in the fossil record shows otherwise. All you do by inserting all this time is put God farther and farther away from man, away from history, away from world events. This isn't what we believe. We believe not only in the God who creates out of nothing in 6 days, but we believe God did this up close and personal in Jesus. Genesis 1 says God created by his word. The word is God the Son who took on flesh in Mary's womb. This is not a passing point in Scripture. John 1 says all things were made through Jesus, and without him was not anything made that was made. Colossians 1 teaches, for by Jesus all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. By the word, God the Son, God the Father spoke and created all things except for one. Man he created by hand from the dust of the earth. The God with hands is Jesus. He created man by hand from the earth, and from the man he created woman by hand. And then although he used Adam and Eve and men and women after them to create other humans, yet still God says we are all handmade by him. In Psalm 139, he tells us that he knit us together in our mother's womb. All types of evolutionists deny Adam and Eve were the first people. Most deny that they were people at all. Oh, they were only mythical, poetical, legendary figures. Millions of years of animals and thousands of years of half-men existed before them. And these were far from perfect. Therefore, neither sin nor death entered the world through Adam's sin, as Scripture teaches. No, sin and death were here long before Adam. What evolutionists don't see is that denying the first part of the equation, they're denying the second part too. 1 Corinthians 15 has the whole equation. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Deny Adam was the first man and all mankind fell in him, and you forfeit the second Adam, raising all who fell in the first. The whole debate isn't about what should be taught in schools or the conflict between science and religion. The debate is whether a person can believe two different religions at the same time. The preface to the 1859 University edition of Origin of Species said this: biology is in the peculiar position of being a science founded on an unproved theory. Belief in the theory of evolution is thus exactly parallel to belief in special creation. Both are concepts which their believers know to be true. The introduction to the 1997 edition of the same book says, the theory of evolution forms a satisfactory faith on which to base our interpretation of nature. There's no way by science I can prove that God the Father created the earth 6,000 years ago by means of God the Son. And there's no way science can prove it was created billions of years ago by chance. The most famed anti-Christian evolutionist, Richard Dawkins, admits, and I quote, I believe, but I cannot prove, that all life, all intelligence, all creativity, and all design anywhere in the universe is the direct or indirect product of Darwinian natural selection. More than that, Dawkins' own illustration says evolution is scientifically impossible. Science says that if something has a 1 in 10 to the 50th chance of happening, it is by definition impossible. Dawkins says the probability of the sequence of 100 amino acids spontaneously forming needed to produce life is 1 in 20 to the 200th. British astronomer Fred Hoyle compares the chance of just one of the many biopolymers on which life depends arriving by random shuffling to 10 to the 50 blind persons with Rubik cubes simultaneously solving the puzzle at once. Facts and figures, however, don't move the Christian who thinks he has to hold to the evolutionary faith or he'll be a Bible-thumping fundamentalist. And that's downright laughable to me. Believing God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, not that many thousands of years ago, is more reasonable to me than believing God took on flesh and blood to keep his laws in my place and died on a cross to pay for my not keeping his laws. It makes more sense to me that God could speak matter, light, and animals into existence than he could be born of a virgin. It is more reasonable to me to believe the earth is very young than to believe the eternal creator was birthed by one of his creatures. Little of the Christian faith can be proven scientifically, yet you bind me to teach it all. I teach your children to pray that God's holy angel be with them, that the evil foe may have no power over them. I teach them to trust that their baptism applies the body and blood of Christ to their bodies to rebirth them as new creatures. I teach them to believe that when I forgive their sins, the words of my mouth forever separate their sins from them. I teach them that the bread on this altar is the body of Christ and the wine here is the true, real, physical blood of Christ. On top of all of this, when you die, I will stand before your children and tell them you're not dead. Science can't find angels in the air. Christ in baptismal waters, forgiveness in my words, body and bread, wine and blood, or life in a corpse. But God says we're to believe they're all there. You can't have it both ways. Either your faith is going to be grounded on God's word or on what your reason can accept. If it's on what your reason can accept, then you really don't believe God's word, but you believe your reason. Jesus specifically addresses this point twice in John's gospel. The conflict in the evolutionist who wishes to be a Christian is between Genesis, a writing of Moses, and the writings of evolutionary scientists. Jesus says in John 5, "If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" The Christian evolutionist says he is able to not believe what Moses writes about the 6 days of creation and still believe what Jesus says about being saved by his holy life and innocent suffering and death. Jesus says he isn't able. You won't believe Moses, you won't believe me. Likewise, the Christian evolutionist says he's able not to believe something Scripture tells him about earth while believing all that it says about heaven. The rhetorical question Jesus asked in John 3 says he can't. Jesus says, if I've told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? You can't, so don't. With the very educated St. Paul, bring every one of your thoughts captive to Christ. Don't believe your thoughts about going to hell. Don't believe your thoughts about being unforgiven. Don't believe your thoughts about the grave being the end. Take those thoughts captive to what Christ says about saving you, forgiving you, and raising you. Don't believe your thoughts about creation. Believe His. But don't start with creation. Start with Christmas. Start with the unbelievable miracle. Not a flying reindeer or of a fat Santa in a small chimney. Start with the miracle of God taking on flesh and dwelling among us. Start with a God who wants to be known in the face of a baby. Or who wants to be known in a man bearing your sins and carrying your sorrows. Start with a God who gives you His word that you are so saved by this man that not sin, not death, not the devil himself can damn you. Then say back to Him what He has first said to you. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Amen.